And today I want to touch on something, you know, on our faith and how important it is. And, you know, and what do we place our faith on? And how does this thing of faith work, you know? A lot of people, even people that are not believers, will say, no, man, just have faith. Okay, but, you know, so what does that mean? So the word faith isn't just a Christian thing. A lot of people use this word. And there's a very specific meaning for us as Christians on what faith is. And I think it's the thing of faith and, you know, having belief, all of that is really on God's heart. And, you know, did you know that when he comes back with the heart of seeking, where will I find faith? Who among you will have faith when I return? And in Luke chapter 18, verse 8, it says, I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly, okay? Let's read on. However, when the Son of Man, Jesus, when he comes, will he find faith on the earth? So picture this. All of us, we're doing our best in living this life for Jesus. And one day, he'll come back and he'll look at me and you, and you'll look, will I find faith? And it's almost this type of question where it's almost like a rhetorical type of question in the way it gets asked in this context, where it's, you kind of expect a negative answer. So it's not like, will I find faith in a sense of, okay, no, there will be many. He's actually asking it in a sense of, I don't know, will there actually be many? Will I actually find faith? I don't know if I'm going to find faith when I return. Isn't that scary? I don't know. It scares me. Like all of us, I mean, I looked it up. Apparently, I don't know how accurate this is, but apparently there's about 85% of the people in South Africa will call themselves Christian. All right? Which is a great stat. I don't know how true it is. But I don't know. This is my take. I think if Jesus comes back and he'll come, will I find faith? I don't know if he's going to find 85%. I don't know. Hopefully. But I'm just like, even if he doesn't find, even if he finds 85%, where's the other 15%? So will he find faith when he returns? And that's the question. And this morning, you know, based on actually the words of Jesus, he actually says, you know, the gate is actually quite small and the path to him is quite narrow, where the world actually says the opposite thing. No, man, whatever goes, whatever you like, whatever makes you happy, that'll get you to Jesus one day because, man, you've got a ticket to heaven. I don't know if that is the gospel. I don't know if that is what Jesus died for. He actually says not many on that, he actually said many on that last day will say, Lord, Lord, haven't we done all these things in your name? And he goes like, who are you? I'm looking for faith. I don't see faith. And it kind of scares me a bit in the way we live in this life will determine his response to us when he returns. And so this life matters. This life matters. The way we live in today, it really matters. And so why is faith so important to God and for us, but also to God? Why is faith so important? And in Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Yeah. How many of you have done something without faith and you're like, surely God is pleased with me? I mean, I've done that many times. But God says, no, 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 without faith, it is impossible. Not like it's kind of acceptable because you used my name in your prayer. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And I'm like, Lord, couldn't you have, you know, just dropped the standard a little bit? Why do you have to keep that standard so high that without faith, it is impossible to please you, God? And then, so basically, in other words, it says in your own effort, you won't please God. Out of your own strength, you'll never please God. But through faith, Jesus will be pleased. Isn't that what we want? I'm just picturing that last day when Jesus returns. Oh, man. And you see a smile on his face and he's like, man, I'm pleased with you. Isn't that what we're living for? Yeah, man. I don't want to stand on that last day and he's like, eesh. You know, I want to stand there with a clear conscience and say, man, I've done my best, Lord Jesus. I've done my best to live my life for you. And he goes, well done, my good and faithful servant. I'm pleased with you. The way you lived your life, the way you had faith in everything you did, that is pleasing. And so, even the word faith, what does that even mean? I think we need to just establish that quickly, because the word faith means many things to many people. And I think there's one way that Jesus wants faith to look like. And in Hebrews 11, are you guys still with me? A bit scared already. It gets better, really. In Hebrews 11 verse 1, it says, now faith, so it gives us an explanation and a definition, is this. It is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Yeah, it's confusing, eh? For an Afrikaans guy, it's like, yo, what does that even mean? Maybe the English guys can help us here. But I've done my best to really just find what I believe faith really is. And simply put, it really, the definition is trusting in something you cannot really prove. So I'm not saying we can't prove God. I mean, we can. Jesus is there, and there's a lot of evidence. But it's having that confidence, it's having that trust in him which you cannot see now. And you believe and you trust. And so when it comes to faith, there's two aspects that I want to just highlight quickly. There's an intellectual knowing, right? There's an intellectual knowing, and then there's trust. Okay, so bear with me. I want to quickly use this illustration. Let me just use the chair. Many of you have seen this before. So to quickly explain what faith is, by using an illustration of this chair, all right? So the intellectual knowing in this scenario is, you know in theory and intellectually that this chair is used to support a person when he sits. You know it, right? That's obvious. That's why we bought these chairs. It's like, this is what it's, that's the purpose. But then the vital ingredient to faith is the trust component. Trusting is actually knowing that it's used to support someone to sit on, but trust is I'm actually going to sit on it. And I put my trust completely in what it's made for. And I think it's important because often I think when it comes to faith, when it comes to the message of Jesus, we can have an intellectual knowing. I know what Jesus did for me. I know what he has done on the cross. I know how church works. I know what it's all about. I know what I should do and not do. But if it doesn't translate from being intellectual and actually trusting and doing it and applying it, it's not faith. Because you need both. You need to know how it works. You need to know what the purpose is, but also you need to trust. And I think that's often the difficult part for us as Christians, isn't it? Let's be honest, the trust component. We grow up knowing a lot of things about God, but trusting him with your life, with every decision, that's often the hard part. So trust is sitting on it, sitting on the chair, knowing. Does that make sense? So for us as people this morning, have we placed our faith in Jesus properly? Or have we, in the way we grew up in the few years, in the last few years, have we actually known him just intellectually, or have we placed our trust in Jesus? That is what he's looking for. You know, placing your faith in him for your eternity. Knowing that if you die today, that I'll be with him in eternity. Like forever. That's what I'm living for. Or have we placed our trust in this world? You know, living for this life. And just a quick stat. Apparently about 100% of us will die one day. Did you know that? That's intellectual knowing. It doesn't take much to know that. And so there will come a day where we're gonna die. You know, this body that we are living in is just temporary. This life that we live is temporary. Are you ready? Are you ready to know what will happen after that? What will happen when you die? Have you ever thought about it? What will happen? You know, and faith is this thing of having a confidence in Jesus, man, and I've given my life to him, and I'll spend eternity with him. That's the life that I'm living for. Or are you maybe unsure this morning? Are you maybe sitting, yeah, I actually don't want to die now. I actually don't, because I'm not sure. And that's a good thing, because God is convicting us this morning. Okay, are you living for me? Because if you live for me, if you've given your life to me, you can have a confidence and a knowing that I'll be with Jesus for eternity. But if you're unsure, maybe today is the day to make sure. So when it comes to faith, in what do we need to have faith? Faith in the system, faith in this world, faith in the government, faith in yourself. What do we need to have faith on or in? What can you, you know, it's a difficult question. And I think all of us will probably answer, no, faith in Jesus. But I don't know if we all really understand what that means. You know, this really is where the gospel is the message that we're living. The gospel. They say there's only one bull, and it's the gospel. That's just a joke, but this is really the foundation of the gospel is our faith in Jesus and what he has done for us on the cross. And I've written a few thoughts down just on the gospel, because if I ask you now, what's the gospel? Do you have an answer? Do you have a complete picture of the gospel? You know, Milan was sharing and you guys were sharing earlier, like we always need to be ready to share the gospel. So what is it that we need to share? And so, you know, God's standard is holiness. Did you know that? God the Father, his standard for us is holiness, is to be perfect. And I'm a sinner. Me and you, we were born in sin, and nothing that I can ever do will be good enough. Despite my best effort, it won't be good enough. And I've tried that for years, actually, trying to be a good person, trying to do less of this and more of that. And I've tried to be a good person, but God actually says in his word in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says, for all have sinned, and we all fall short of the glory of God. So none of us are excused with this scripture. All of us have sinned. And despite our best efforts, all of us fall short of the glory of God, which is the standard of God, which is holiness, perfection. All of us fall short of it. Some of us are closer than others, but it doesn't mean much in God's eyes. His eyes is, or you are holy or you're not. And if you're not, there's sin involved. And sin has to be punished in God's eyes. In Romans 6:23, this is what happens when we sin. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so sin has to be punished. You know, because sin separates us from God, and sin leads to death. And that death isn't just a physical death. It's a spiritual death which separates you from God, which means when you that sin will lead you to hell. That's what it says. For eternity, not just for a temporary experience, for eternity in hell, separated from God. And for unbelievers, often that's like, no, that doesn't sound too bad. You know, how hard can it be? You know what I've gone through in my life? Man, I've went through hell in this life. And I'm like, I don't know if you understand. The Bible is clear on what hell is, where there's a gnashing of teeth and a continual tears of pain, and there's so much that I'm like, I don't want to get close to that. I've lived in Wellington for 7 years where it gets 43 degrees in summer. I've been close to hell. It's very warm. Like if you stand for too long in the sun, you get that kind of little experience. You know what I mean? It's just a funny joke that we always had in Wellington. We call it Hellington. It's actually such a beautiful little town. And but sin separates us from God, and that's the bad news. And you know the gospel means good news. And for news to be good, there has to be bad news. And that's that. So sin separates us, and we're on our way to hell. Nothing that we can ever do will be good enough. And so God was looking, okay, who's perfect here? Okay, there's no one. There's no one. So I'm going to send my son, my one and only son, the one who is perfect, the one who is without blame, the one without sin. I'm going to send him to die on a cross in the most brutal way for me and you. For me and you. And often when I see the cross, I mean, we're not Catholic, so we don't, you know, have crosses with Jesus on. He's off the cross. But often when I see it, it's a remembrance for me that, man, that could have been me. That should have been me. Not that I'm a savior at all, but that's the punishment of sin. And because of what Jesus done, he came and he died for me and you on the cross. And in John 3:16, it says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. This is the way to God, is through Jesus and believing in him, knowing that he has died for you on the cross. And 3 days later, he rose again. He was resurrected by the power of God. And we just went through the weekend of Easter. And isn't this the message of Easter, a message of the gospel? Is Jesus died for us, but he also rose from the grave. And we're serving a living God today. We're not serving a historical dead figure. We're serving a living God. He conquered sin. He conquered death. So for now, isn't that the good news? He gives us that invitation. He gives us that gift that we need to just receive in faith, saying, yes, Lord, I receive it by faith. I don't just know about it. I'm going to sit on it. I'm giving my whole weight. I'm putting my whole body and my whole life on this gift. This is the good news. And so when sin comes knocking on your door, if you're a believer, you don't have to answer. You don't have to answer. But when you're not a believer, you are forced to open up that door. Because you have given that power over to Satan, actually. You have given over that power for this door to always be open for sin to come in. But when you give your life to the Lord and you sit on that chair, so to speak, with Jesus being your Lord and Savior, he has broken that power of sin and death over you. You're not bound by it anymore. Do you know that? You need to know that. This is the good news. You're not bound by the power of sin anymore. So don't keep on sinning, man. That's not who you are. That's not who you are, and that's not the life that Jesus has called us for. And in Ephesians 2, verse 8 to 9, are you still with me? Just sharing the gospel here this morning. For it is by grace that you have been saved. It's not by your works that you have been saved. It's by grace that you have been saved through faith. It's not from yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. You know, often we have conversations with people, hey, are you going to heaven? Yeah, I think so. Okay, why? That's a good question. Why? Why are you going to heaven? And I've heard many answers. You know, I just need to be a better person. And I'm going to church. And, you know, I'm trying to keep the Ten Commandments. And I'm trying to, you know, and I'm trying to. And all I can hear is, I'm trying to. I don't know. What I see is not by your own works that you can boast, but it's by grace. It's the grace of Jesus. It's by what he has done. It's by his works that we can be saved. You know, and so if we reject the gospel, what we actually do is we embrace the bad news. Because when the gospel is shared to someone, they're actually at a cross path where they need to decide yes or no. And we can't force people to say yes. We're basically just witnesses of, hey, this is the good news. This is what Jesus has done for me. Do you want it? And you can say no, but that's on you. But I'm going to continue to just be a witness of the good news of Jesus. You know, and so I really want to, oh man, Do you guys get this? This is the message that we need to hold on to. And salvation is 100% because of what Jesus has done. Nothing in ourselves. We just need to receive that gift of salvation in faith. And then he invites us into a relationship with the Father. Because sin separates us with God. But Jesus, what he has done, he paid for our sins. And now we are in Jesus. And because Jesus is perfect, the Father accepts us. And we can be in a relationship with him, walking with him daily. You know, and I think I'm going to touch on some touchy subjects just now on the gospel. I think there's a lot of bad stuff out there, a lot of things that I don't believe is 100% the gospel. And one of them is the thing of repentance. You know, nowadays you get the gospel without repentance. That's not the gospel. That's a half gospel. They're missing a second part. They're missing your response. You know, it gives us a license to sin, basically. That's what they call an insufficient grace gospel. So a lot of guys out there. It sounds like a good thing because, man, isn't this a good deal? Look, I'm a bit of an entrepreneur, all right? So I love good deals. I love good deals. And I think when this message is being preached out there, it sounds like a good deal. I can kind of I can continue in the way I've been living while having my insurance policy that one day I can go to heaven. That sounds like a good deal. I don't have to change much. I can have kind of my feet in both worlds. I can, you know. Repentance is always accompanied by faith. Well, faith is always accompanied by repentance, actually. When there's no repentance, I recently read something. Having tears isn't repentance. But having change is repentance. And often that change, that conviction, it brings tears, it brings emotion, because we do know that God has emotion and we have emotion. And so don't be that guy, no, I can never cry before God. It becomes intellectual knowing. But often when there's trust and faith and emotion and disappointment that goes along with all of those things in life, we can be real before God and say, Lord, this is where my faith is at. And then we change. Repentance is actually changing. And you were walking in this way. Repentance is, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm turning away from this life. I'm turning away from this sin. I turn to you. It's not like I'm neutral, yeah? You're turning to something in life. And as Christians, we are those that turns to God. And so this morning, biblical faith, I want to say this. Biblical faith is not just applicable for salvation. It's not just that day when you give your life to the Lord. It's actually applicable for the rest of your Christian walk. Did you get that? So it's not like you start off with faith and that's it. You actually need to walk out your salvation until he returns or until you die in faith. And often I think we start well. It's like, yes, Lord, I give you my life. And then we go off doing it in our own strength. And you know, in Monopoly, you get a get out of jail free card. You just keep it in the back pocket. But I'm doing this in my own strength, Lord. Just bless my plans. No, no, no. He's our Lord and Savior. He's our Lord. He's the one that we follow. So, Lord, what are your plans for me? And that's what I follow. What do you have for me? That's what I do. Where are you? That's where I want to be. That's living with faith. And have you received this gift yet? And now I want to just quickly, something that I picked up recently is just something that I want to speak about. And you know, a lot of people, and I mean, I don't want to put us off the hook. I think we need to really just consider where we are at. But I think often Christians, when they respond to Jesus, they say yes to him, and then they make it about themselves. And I want to speak about that. They make it about us. The life is about me. You know, that's what they call the evil trinity, me, myself, and I. And I mean, those that are luckily, that's not me. I'm not going to listen. Actually, we all need to listen, because when I got this conviction, I'm like, oh, sure, Lord. I think often I make it about me. Often I make it about us. You know, the gospel is giving me a better life. Jesus is here to give me a better life. And when I read the accounts of the disciples, often they didn't, you know, get a better life after they said yes to the Lord. Often they didn't. And what happens is it becomes self-centered. You know, it becomes the self-centered gospel instead of a Christ-centered gospel. The gospel is Christ-centered, or it's not the gospel at all, actually. When you make the gospel about me, about you, you are actually sitting on that throne, and not Jesus, not Christ. And, I mean, hopefully I'm rattling some boxes here, and I'm going to explain what I mean. But often I think when we look at the world, when we look at unbelievers, it's easy to see that, no, man, they are living for themselves, right? They're living just for their pleasures. But when it comes to Christians, I think we can quickly make the gospel of Jesus about us having a better life, about us being blessed. You know, and let me say, I'm going to give you some examples. And once you see this, you're going to be ruined. You're always going to see this now. And at the core, it's about you. So there's a message, but at the core, when you dig deeper, often it's about you. And I don't think that is faith that Jesus will be happy about. And so, what things that I've seen is, man, God is for you. Okay? That's a nice promise to hold on to, right? God is for you. God is with you, man. God is with you. Man, God loves you. God loves me. Okay, Oya, what are you saying? Isn't that true? That's true, right? That is true. Amen? Come on, that is true. I don't want to say that's not true. That is true. But let's be honest. I mean, having songs about how he loves me and how he will split the seas for me. Isn't that beautiful to hear? Jesus, it's all about me. You know, often it's lack of songs to sing, man. You just, in worship, it's just lively. Yeah, Jesus loves me. And it's true. He does love you. He is for you. He is with you. But it's not about you. It's not about you. Worship isn't about you. If you ask, hey, how was worship? Nah, it was all right, you know. That's the wrong answer, actually. The question is, Jesus, how was worship for you? That's why we worship. We're not here to, oh, man, it was a hard week. Yeah, you know, oh, it was a busy week at work. I just want to worship and feel a bit better. Just get my little food for the week. That's about you. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. And so the statements that I'm looking for is, are you actually with God? Are you actually loving him? Are you actually for him? Instead of, is he for me? Does he love me? Is he where I am? Because here's the thing, it's not our story, it's his story. We are part of his story. He's not part of our story. Did you get that? Did you hear that? We are part of his story. But often we make him part of our story. And at the core, it's about my story. It's about us. When you share a testimony, and it's not Milan that shared one earlier, but generally, often when I hear people sharing testimonies, I can just hear you instead of Jesus. Your testimony isn't about you, it's about him. You're a witness about what you have seen about him. It's about him. This life is about him. It's not about us, man. It's not about us. How many of you have found it difficult to just come to church on a Sunday and you just come and you adore him? You just love him, man. You just, oh, Lord, I just love you. And you pour out your heart at his feet. How many of you are finding that difficult when we sing those type of songs? But when we sing a song, you split the seas, Lord, so that I can walk through it, and then you're like, yeah! And I'm being honest here. And we need to be honest. And often, man, like I said, these things are true, right? So I'm not saying it's heresy. Those things are true, but I think it often gets overemphasized. Often it gets overemphasized. It's still true. He does love you. He might split the sea for you. He might do all these things. But if we build our lives on that, we are actually overemphasizing that. Is that all right? It's not about us, eh? Don't be concerned about yourself. It's about him. It's a Christ-centered gospel. And often people have asked me, so what do you think about this preacher or this band? It's difficult questions. Because what they preach is they're preaching Jesus, they're singing about Jesus, but with a U-tone in it. You know, so, man, God has died for your breakthrough. Is that true? Yes. But it sounds like about you, like your breakthrough, like the plans he has for you. Does that make sense? And I'm a bit controversial here this morning, but I'm hoping to just stretch us a bit in the way we follow Jesus. It's not about you. And I know we've got needs. I know we've got desires. But let me tell you, those needs and desires are being met when you pour out your life at his feet. When you realize it's not about me, it's about Jesus and what he has done for us on the cross. In that place, you'll find peace with God. In that place, you'll find your needs and your desires being listened to by the Father. That's the real faith that he's looking for, man. A real faith, knowing bad things will happen to us. Knowing it. Not if. It's going to happen. Life will happen. Bad things will come along our way. We'll experience loss. But real faith will go through it, and you'll walk out more strengthened in the Lord. Full of faith. Not wobbling at all, because my faith isn't in what he gives or doesn't give or what he takes away. My faith is in the person of Jesus Christ. That no matter what happens in this life, my faith is actually just going to increase because my faith is in Jesus as a person, not in the things. It's difficult, eh? It is difficult. We've gone through some loss over the last few years and some challenges and things we can't explain. And I don't want to, it's not about me. And I don't want you to feel sorry for us. I'm just sharing this out of a testimony that, man, Jesus kept us through that whole time. And, man, it's not like we've passed that test and we're never going to face the test again. And hopefully the Lord will just spare us a little bit. But we're going to go through loss again in our life. We're going to go through bad things again, guaranteed, because I know how this works, and it's actually a promise in the Bible. And so we need to know that through hard times, our faith should be rooted in the person of Jesus, not in how it goes with you, not in whether you feel good or not, not in whether you have much or not. There was a time where my joy in my Christian walk was directly tied to money. It sounds weird, eh? But this is how it went. When I got a salary, I feel like, man, yeah, I can do this thing. And yeah, I can follow Jesus passionately. And I can just, it's not like prosperity stuff, yeah? I'm just saying, often when we don't have money, our joy just evaporates. Is our faith, is our joy tied to money or the things of this world or on the person of Jesus? And I'm not saying we've won that thing, but I think we've broken that thing. That whether we have much or not, man, I'm still going to follow Jesus passionately. That's what Paul said in the Bible. Whether I have much or not, I count it all joy. For the joy set before me, Jesus said, I'll endure the cross. We need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and not the things. Is that clear? He's looking for a real faith, faith in Him, whether we have much or not. You know, it's a picture of, I want to just explain a picture of a mirror. You know, I don't know, I'm sure all the women know what I'm talking about. A spiel, a mirror, you know, those things that you look into the morning and you do your hair and your makeup and all those things. And you know, did you know that Jesus called us to reflect Him by being a mirror for Him? Did you know that? That you are actually a mirror of Jesus. You're not Jesus. You're just a mirror of Him. Which means that you need to reflect Him. When you go out into the workplace, into your families, at church, wherever, you are to reflect Him. You know, so he shines His light into you, all right? And then what does many people do with that is like, I'm going to shine my light. Again, that's now you're seeing it. It's not about you. It's about Him. It's about shining His light, actually. We are to shine His light. We are to reflect His heart. We are to reflect His grace, His love to others. But often what we do is we take a little bit of that glory, we take a little bit of that light, we take a little bit of what He has given us, we make it about us, and then we're actually becoming broken mirrors. We're becoming cracked mirrors. So it's still a mirror. You can still see, you know, it's a mirror. But it doesn't reflect the fullness of Christ. And God is calling us to reflect the fullness of Him. Not taking a little bit of the glory for ourselves, not taking a little bit of, you know what I mean? We ought to reflect the fullness of Christ in all things. In all things. Yeah, it's difficult. And I want to maybe end with the scripture. Maybe the band come and lead us into just a response, because I want us to take this message and make it about Him. It's not about us. It's not about us. And I know many of us are sitting here this morning with fears in your heart, with desires, with needs. And like I've said, as we pour out our lives for Him, as we look to Him, that in that place is where we find the presence of God. It's in that place where we find Him. And so just turn your attention to me right now in this moment. Don't look to the band. Let's just get our hearts before Jesus. And I want to read this scripture in Landing in Revelation 12, verse 11. They, the believers, they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb. So they overcame the devil. They overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb, which is the blood of Jesus. He is the Lamb of God, the one that is pure and spotless. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And this is the part that I want to get to, is they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. A different translation says they did not love their lives even unto death. Man, I'm not here to fight for my life. I'm not here to pick up my life. I'm here to pour out my life. I'm here to love Jesus and not love my life. You get what I'm saying? You need to learn how to, you know, love yourself and be secure in who you are and those things. But again, it's not about you. It's about Him and pouring out your life to Him. Because we know the real life is actually in the next. When Jesus comes back, that is where eternity is going to take place forever. And we've started with that, partially. But our hope is in the next. My hope is in Jesus Can we close our eyes where we are? I just want to pray for us. Thank you, Lord.